morning. Certainly been good to offer praise to our God and our Father, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the thing that He did for us that we might have fellowship with Father. So many things that God has done for us. And so many things that we're here this morning to offer our praise to Him about as our Creator, as the giver of all blessings. And so now we come to that point in our worship where our purpose is to look into His Word and try to gain some things from it that will help us to be better servants of His, to reach out to our friends and neighbors, and really attempt to conform our lives to Jesus. We talk about almost every Sunday so far this year what the theme that we've gotten for the year is, which is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Dr. Clifford talked to me a couple of weeks ago and asked me if I could fill in for Andrew this morning, I said, well, is there something that you want me to talk about? And he suggested, and I think wisely so, that I stick with the theme. So I'm going to do that this morning. When I think about what it means that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I think in terms of some things that I have to do because of that. And so what we're going to look at this morning is a lesson called Because Jesus Does Not Change, I Must. This morning when Brother Norman started our worship service, he read from Hebrews, the first chapter, and if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to go back to that section if you would. We know that Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like God the Father. The will of our God does not change. The things that He expects from us does not change. And while the Hebrew writer tells us that in chapter 13 and verse 8, that Jesus is the same, he begins that book with some other important information that we need to understand about this Jesus. In the first two verses, he says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. So the first thing that he points out here is that, you know, this is the last time. He's talked to people in various ways up until now, but now in the last times, the way that God has communicated His will and the things that He has for us to do is through Jesus. He's communicated that to us by His Son. Well, in verse 3, he says, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we know that this is the way that the Word of God is to be communicated to us in these last days. But we also know that Jesus has been around the whole time. He was there when the world was made. He'll be there at the end of the world. He is the express image of God. They are together on this. There is not a difference in their will. It is all the same. And finally, we know that He is the one that purged our sins. So if there's someone that we're going to pay attention to, it needs to be Jesus, the one who has done the work that we could not do. He has put us in communion with God by His sacrifice. And so we need to pay attention to what Jesus has to say. And because Jesus is not going to change, there are some things that I must change. And we're going to look at four of those things this morning. And we could look at a whole bunch more. And maybe by the end of it, you're going to think I looked at too many. We'll see. But we're going to talk about four things that I need to do to make change because Jesus is not going to change. The first of those things is I need to learn the Father's will. I need to learn the Father's will. This was something of paramount importance to Jesus when He was teaching here on the earth. And if you look with me in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus makes this point really clearly. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. And there Jesus tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have cast out demons in your name? Have done many wonders in your name? And I will then declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, is Jesus saying that doing many wonderful works is a bad thing? Well, no, I don't think that's what he's saying. Jesus did many wonderful works. Is Jesus saying prophesying is a bad thing? Well, no, he prophesied. What about casting out demons? Is he saying that's a bad thing? Well, no, Jesus cast out demons. So it's not the actual work. The question is it according to the Father's will? See, it's not enough for me to say, I'm doing this in your name, Jesus. It's whether or not I'm actually conforming myself to the will of the Father. It may not be the will of the Father for me to do what I want to do. I may have to do something else. So I can't just slap Jesus' name on some work and say, I did it in your name. It needs to be according to the will of the Father. Well, if that's true, how do I learn that will? How do I come across the information that tells me I'm in conformance with Jesus' will? Well, the first thing is that we study the Scriptures with purpose. We're going to study the Scriptures with purpose. Back in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter spends its time talking about Jesus and what his position of authority is. But if you look at chapter 2, in verses 1 through 4, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. See, we can understand the word, the will of God, by looking at the Scriptures and understanding the Word of God. So we need to be evaluating the Word of God. And we need to do that with purpose. Now, while I certainly would never discourage anyone from just sitting down and reading your Bible, I think there's value in that, and there's things that we gain from that. When we study the Scriptures, we need to do it with purpose. So this being the beginning of the year, many of us probably started the year with this goal that says, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. I'm going to start in Genesis, I'm going to get through Revelation, I'm going to get there. And my question is, what is your purpose in doing that? Is it so that when you get to the end, you say, you know what, I set a goal and I accomplished it, good for me. Or is there a goal, is there a purpose in mind to your study? If you're looking at the Scripture, you're saying, I want to read through this because I really want to understand God's will. And I want to see it back in Genesis, all the way through into the New Testament, and all the way through into Revelation, and I want to see that that will is the same. There are people who occasionally get up and they become commentators on television, and they try to show off a little bit of their Bible knowledge, and they like to talk about God, and they'll talk about God as, well, you know, you look at the Old Testament God, and that was a God of anger, and that was a God of punishment. And then you look at the New Testament God, and that's a God of love. I'm going to suggest to you, those people haven't been studying the Scripture with purpose, because it's the same God all the way through. It's the same God who created us, who loves us, who rescues us again and again and again and again in the Scripture. But it's also a God who demands to be treated as holy. And when we look in the Old Testament and we see God executing judgment on people who do not treat him as holy, we need to take that as an example for ourselves. Because that's the same God of the New Testament who expects us to treat him as holy. Expect us to treat his name with reverence. Expects us to obey the commandments that he sets out for us. So we need to study with purpose. And when we talk about studying, of course, we have some touchstone scriptures that we like to go back to. You know, we like to look at 2 Timothy 3:16 that says all scripture is profitable, and it's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. We look at 2 Timothy 2:15 that says it helps us to rightly divide the word of truth when we study. And we look at 1 Peter 3:15. It talks about having being able to give someone a reason for the hope that's within us in case somebody asks us. And those are all things that we need to be studying for when we study the Scriptures with purpose. When we're doing more than just reading our Bibles, but we're reading it to understand. And we're understanding things like Why do we worship the way we worship? Why is the formal assembly of God's saints handled in a very distinct manner, decently and in order, as the Scripture teaches, as opposed to doing kind of whatever we want? Well, the way we're going to find that out is to study with purpose. And any subject that we come up with, we need to apply that thing to. The second way we're going to learn the Father's will is we're going to need to pray about it. We're going to need to pray about it with fervor. We're going to need to pray about it with some energy. When we talk about having energy in our prayers, we're talking about being serious about the things that we're asking God about, and so serious that we're not afraid to ask Him over and over again about it, because we're very serious about what is going on here. An example I'd like to point out to you is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, you've got Paul writing what is in essence a thank you note to the Philippians for their care and support of him. But notice the things that Paul is praying for them. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul says, I'm praying for you that you're going to have wisdom, that you're going to have knowledge and discernment, that you're going to be able to make good choices when you're confronted with situations, so that you're filled with the fruits of righteousness, so that you're able to discern things that are excellent. That's his prayer for them, that their knowledge not only would increase, but their discernment as well. And you know, that sounds a lot like what we hear in James, the first chapter, verse 5, says, if any lacks wisdom, let him ask God. We can ask God and pursue God to give us wisdom and discernment so that we understand His will. You know, I don't know everybody in the room this morning, but I'm going to suspect that most of us are not Bible scholars. Most of us can't look back at the original Greek and talk about where this accent point makes this tense of this word mean something. You know, but thank goodness we don't have to. We've got the Word of God given to us in English. And we can read it. And yet, you don't have to go very far down the street to find people who are reading the same English Bible that I'm reading this morning and have a completely different idea about how we should worship the Lord and have a completely different idea about what service to Him really means. Well, what accounts for that distinction? You see, we need to have discernment. We need to be asking God to say, if I get off on an idea when I'm reading your word, Lord, please bring me back. Please help me to understand your word in the way that you want your word understood. And if we can do that, then we know that we'll be in harmony with His will. We need to pray in fervor. The third thing we need to do is simply take advantage of opportunities. This morning at 9:15, we had a Bible class for all ages. We had Bible classes for one-year-olds, and Bible classes for the middle school. We have multiple Bible classes for the adults. We're going to do the same thing on Wednesday night. We have gospel meetings where we bring people in. We have men's weekends and women's weekends. We have all of these opportunities. And in the worship, in addition to offering our praise to God and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus, we take a few minutes to look into the Scriptures and be instructed by it. We need to take advantage of those opportunities so that we can understand the will of God. Because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to get to go into the kingdom of heaven. It's those who are doing the will of the Father. And nothing should be more important to us. You know, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have another worship opportunity. And we're going to have another fine gentleman stand up here and talk to us a little bit about the Word of God and give us an opportunity to learn more about God's will. Now, I dare say that a good number of our friends and neighbors are not going to be interested in coming with us to worship tonight at 6 o'clock. They might have something else on their agenda for this afternoon. But the question is, what is on your agenda? What's on your agenda in terms of learning the will of God? Are you going to take advantage of those opportunities so that you can discern His will? Because Jesus is not going to change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He's not going to decide one day, you know, Doug Arney's been right about this whole thing, this whole moral issue that he and I have been grappling with, and you know what? It's going to be okay. I'm just going to let it be Doug's way. That's not going to happen. Jesus isn't going to change, so I must. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to need to understand what the will of the Father is. Second, I need to increase my faith. Now, this kind of goes hand in hand with the first part of that, because, you know, we teach our kids all the time, and especially in the little kids' classes, you know, where does faith come from? Well, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we are studying with purpose, we're going to increase our faith. And I'm going to suggest to you that that's a pretty important thing, because Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, how am I going to believe those things? How am I going to learn those things? Well, I'm going to learn it from the Scripture. I'm going to learn it by seeing how time and time and time again, God delivers on His promises. God keeps His policies, His prescriptions, the things that He asks for us to do, consistent all the way through, and how He rescues His people who cry out to Him because He loves them. You know, it's amazing the things that prayer and study can do. And one of those things that it can do is it can increase our faith. Take a look at Luke chapter 17 for just a second. In Luke chapter 17, we get a little bit of a sense as to why increasing my faith is really important. Because being a Christian can be hard. It can be difficult, and it can be challenging. And the thing that's going to allow us to continue going is our faith. In Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 3, I think I have it up here. No, verses 1 through 5. But beginning in verse 3, Jesus is teaching, and He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Look at the next verse. "And the apostle said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.'" You know what? About the 5th time that the same guy comes to me, having wronged me in the same day, and says, "I repent," it's going to be hard for me to buy into the idea that the right thing to do is to forgive him. It's going to be hard. I'm going to want to do something else about the 5th time. About the 6th time, I'm really going to want to do something else. And by the 7th time, I'm going to be on my very last rope. Right? And the only way I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do is if I've got faith that what He's telling me to do is the right thing to do instead of what I want to do. It's going to be hard to do some of the things that the Lord asks us to do, and we need the faith to deliver on those things. This morning in Bible class, we were talking about temptation. You know? It's not just doing the right thing that's hard. It's not doing the wrong thing that can be hard. We talked about the verses that tell us how each one of us is tempted by our own lusts, the things that drive each one of us. Those things are hard to overcome. And the feel for instant gratification is there. And so we need to be able to overcome that. And the way that we do that is we increase our faith. Now look at what Jesus tells them in verse 6. It says, "The Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it would obey you.'" How much faith do I need? Sounds like I need at least as much as a mustard seed. There's so many things that we can do if we allow ourselves to believe that God can deliver on His promises. In the Old Testament, we have example after example after example. Just to give you one of them, Joshua, when he's taken the land and he's smiting the enemies of the Lord, and it's going really well, he says, "Lord, if you could just make the sun stand still. Just make the sun stand still so we can finish winning this battle." And the Lord did it. And he left the sun up for an entire day so they could finish the battle. That's incredible. Joshua asked and the Lord delivered. I don't think Joshua was kind of hem-hawing, "You know, Lord, if it's not, I don't know if you can do this. But, you know, do something." You know, Joshua said, make the sun stand still. And the Lord did it. And I fully believe that the Lord did it. And if he can do that, he can give me the courage to overcome the temptations that I face. And he can give me the strength to forgive my brother when he crosses me for the seventh time in the same day. I need my faith increased. Number three, I need to seek God's mercy. And there's really no getting around that part. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am not. Yesterday, I might have had a really good day of sermon, and today, maybe not so much. And I do things that are contrary to God's will. And so do you. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And that's bad enough, but when you look at what the Scripture teaches us, Romans 6:33 says the wages for that, the payment for that, is death. Because I sinned, I should die. That's pretty much what that says. Now, fortunately, that's not the whole verse. It says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is mercy in the Lord. In fact, and we won't read it right now, but if you look at Exodus chapter 34, when God proclaims his name for Moses and shows him his glory, and he proclaims the Lord God, he begins by talking about his attributes, about being merciful and gracious. God is always merciful to those that are seeking after his mercy. Take a look with me back in Hebrews chapter 4 again. This is where the payoff of Jesus being the same really comes through for his followers. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Flip over another couple chapters to Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus always lives to make intercession for me. And when I sin, and I repent, and I go to God, and I say, I know I've done this over and over and over again, and I'm sorry, and I don't want to do it anymore, I've got Jesus standing right there saying, I've felt what he felt, I understand it, and he intercedes for me. I need to seek that mercy. Finally, the fourth thing I need to do is I need to take up my cross. I need to take up my cross. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus talks about what it means to be his disciple. And the interesting thing about it, and I don't know if it's interesting or challenging or what word you want to associate with it, he doesn't make it sound all that glamorous to make 100 million people just jump at the opportunity to follow him. He talks about what it's going to mean on this earth. Beginning in verse 32, he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's a challenge to all of us. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 70 years. This morning when you got up, God expected you to take up your cross and follow Jesus. And whether you've never confessed the name of Jesus, that's what God expects from you too. He expects it from everybody. That if you want to be my children, you need to take up the cross and follow after me and follow after my will. You're here this morning as a Christian, and you've not been doing those things. You need to get back to them. Because Jesus is not going to change. The things that Jesus taught, the example that Jesus set, the things that he told us about the expectations of his Father, they're real. And they're not going to change tomorrow. And so, if we've kind of lulled ourselves into a feeling that maybe I don't have to do what I need to do, we're wrong. And we need to change. We need to be the ones that overcome the uncomfortable feeling of talking to our neighbors about Jesus. Overcome the uncomfortable feeling about saying, no, I can't do that because my Lord teaches me I shouldn't do that. We need to stand for the Lord in everything that we do. And just because we may not have stood for him on Friday doesn't mean that we can't start standing for him right now. And we can start doing what he wants. And we can seek his mercy for the times when we don't. If you're here this morning and you've never become a child of God, you can change that this morning. You can learn the Father's will. And you know this much, that he expects you to understand what he wants for you, and that he expects you to follow. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. You know that you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're willing to do those things at the start of life with Jesus, we can help you with that this morning. If there's any spiritual need that you have, we're here to help you. If we can assist you at this time, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?